The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 13th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Chuck Grassley says he opposes a tax increase that would offset an increase in the House version of the 2007 Farm Bill spending. Secretary of Agriculture Mike Johann says the president is not happy with the House put forth for the next farm bill. And a Purdue ag economist says Indiana may have a tough time putting away this year's corn crop, but that it shouldn't stress the system any more than the previous 2 years. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Storm Auditorium in Windsor, Illinois, for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight's meeting gets underway at 6 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain, Greg Wagner of Horizon Ag Strategy, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities. That's at the Storm Auditorium in Windsor, Illinois. The meeting gets underway at 6 o'clock. The meeting is free and no advance registration is required. We hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat futures at 666 and a half were down a half. December futures were up six at $6.90 and a half. September corn futures down 2 cents at $3.31. December futures at $3.49, down 1 1/2. And the March contract, a penny and a half lower at $3.64 1/4. December contract for next year, three quarters of a cent higher at $3.99 3/4. August soybeans, $8.61, up 11. September's at $8.66, a dime higher. November's at $8.81 3/4, were up a dime. And next year's November's above $9 at $9.04. They're up 4 1/2 for the day. August bean meal futures at $2.35.60, up $3.10. August bean oil up 22 at $36.50. At the Mercantile Exchange, August live cattle $90.75, 52 1/2 higher. October futures at $95 and a nickel, up 5 cents. And August feeder cattle at $115, 52 1/2, up 55 cents. September futures 77 1/2 higher at $115.35 for the afternoon. August lean hogs at $73.95, 52 1/2 cents higher for the day. Outside markets now, nearby crude oil trading the September contract at $71.67 a barrel. That's 20 cents higher. The CRB at $311.98 is up 1.07. The dollar at $81.04 is up 34 for the day. And the Dow at 13,297, 58 points to the upside this afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me first about the gain we had in the soybean pit today.
Well, the August weather patterns are a little disturbing to the bean pit as a whole as traders continue to watch the radar and not enough coverage in the east or southeast give the market the idea that bean crops moving into a favorable condition, so therefore trade wanted to add a little weather premium back into the marketplace. We're seeing maybe this afternoon's crop conditions report to show an additional 1 to 2, maybe 3% decline out of that good to excellent category, with the large drops in east and southeast, per se. And probably a little bit of improvement in areas that received some rain there last week in the north, northwest. And we'll have that out at 3 o'clock to see how that unfolds. Also, too, we saw some talk that China was in the bean market, not only for our beans, but for some South American beans, too. So they continued to be around as a buyer and continue to give the market support. But the main theme is weather and beans as we go into mid-August here.
When you look at the bean market, you see that there are some nines out there for the March 08, May 08, and July 08 soybeans. This a good sign for things to come in the beans?
Well, technically, we've got an uptrend going here. We sort of recorded some lows here at the end of July. We've been trying to grind higher here. We've been making some higher highs, and we're getting a little over bottom on the momentum indicators. There's some optimism there that we could trend the old crop or the November on up to the $9 level. When you visit with producers and other individuals, it seems like you got to have the front number of nine to sort of make them think about going more bean acres next year. And I think that's going to be the one underlying fundamental support as we go into next year as we sort this acreage mix out, because you've got the 08 contracts in the low $9, and that should hopefully entice more bean acres.
On Commodity Week over for this past weekend, Greg Wagner, who will be with Dave Dickey tonight down at Storm's Auditorium in Windsor, coined what I liked as a nice phrase called the ground war, which was the war between corn and soybeans and wheat to capture acres. Do you think wheat will continue to make that move as well as soybeans at this point?
Yeah, when you look at the big fundamental picture, we've got the tightest global supply of wheat in over 30 years. And when you look at the big picture here, food intake as a whole is growing at a faster pace than world crop production in general. So prices need to remain firm here to encourage acres to go into that commodity or particular commodity, and also try to curb or slow the intake of the raw commodity in general. But each commodity is probably going to take its turn here. When you look at the big windfall for the American farmer, especially you take Missouri, southern half Illinois, and Indiana, Ohio, when you look at cash flow purpose, when you start plugging in these higher wheat prices and these higher bean prices, there's a pretty good windfall there, which would encourage those producers to go heavy wheat with coming back with some double crop beans there.
I have a question about that when they do that, because Kansas City has been using Chicago to price wheat. Actually, Chicago has become the default wheat market, I think, for the world. But here in Illinois and Indiana, east of the Mississippi River, parts of Missouri, they grow soft red winter wheat, and the basis level has just been awful a good portion of that time. Is there something that these producers need to do if they're thinking that they want to capture these high prices? Do they have to actually get into the Chicago futures market or the options in order to capture that premium?
Yeah, it's going to be two different markets, and that's going to be the frustrating part, not only in wheat, but it's also going to be very frustrating in corn in the bean market. It is the basis. And the straight hedge will help you manage some price risk, but there is still going to be that price risk on the raw basis or cash side of the equation. And what we're seeing is various reasons. When you talk to your elevator guy, he's been well-trained to give you 100 reasons why basis is wide, and they're very good at that, and there's probably a reason for that. But right now we're still seeing these millers having ample supplies at the present time. Also, too, we're seeing elevators, the commercial side, wanting to get this wheat moved, and it's plugging up the pipeline a little bit due to the fact that with this huge crop. crop coming in from us. When you look at total bushels of corn, total bushels of beans, you know, we're going to have a logistic nightmare and a storage nightmare in some areas. So therefore, we've taken this wheat crop and moved it at a record pace, trying to push it on through the channel to make room. When you look at Illinois in general, what I've been told, and I'm not in the elevator business on the commercial side, your commercial guys might be able to tell you a little bit better, we can be short about 300 million bushels of storage space here over the short term. So the incentive is to get it in early, get it moved through the pipeline to make room for the longer-term storage.
Tell me about the corn market, and I know you just alluded to it with the number, total number of acres that will be short, something between 250 and 300 million in the state of Illinois in terms of storage. In the corn market today, we lost 2 cents on the nearby's December futures for next year, just a three-quarter of a cent gain.
Yeah, but the trade's becoming more and more comfortable with the corn crop in general. The size, we're going to see a great debate on that. The next major event, which you pretty well cover, would be the Pro Farmer John Deere Crop Tour, which is a tour that goes out and covers a broad area and gives us some actual samples. What we've been finding in the corn crop, however, though, is the rows around, 16 when guys expect 18 to 20. A lot of yields in some good areas are being estimated about 180 bushel when they expected 200 bushel. There's some 200 bushel plus out there, so how they average this all out, that's going to be the challenge of the marketplace. But as a whole, the trade is somewhat comfortable with production prospects here that we're going to have some bushels to work with. The key is demand, how soon demand comes forward, and we feel demand is going to come quicker to the marketplace than what the trade thinks.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, we saw the meat market hang in there fairly well. We're starting to see these packers and retailers come forward, already starting to get some Labor Day featuring booked and starting to move that through the pipeline in here. This livestock market is going to continue to be exciting here as we wait for confirmation on how much pork China actually purchases.
We appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. You can catch him each and every Monday right here on the Closing Market Report and on the Opening Market Report. That happens at 9:50 a.m. on Mondays. You can listen to Kurt Kimmel then, or you can pick him up off our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologists from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Scott Olthoff says an excessive heat warning is in effect for southwestern and portions of west central Illinois from today right on through Wednesday evening. Tonight in northern sections, it'll be partly cloudy, a period of or two of showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows will range this evening from around 60 in northeastern Indiana to about 73 in the west central parts of Illinois and the south. Tomorrow in northern sections, partly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. In central sections, mostly sunny, the chance of some thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly sunny and hot across the two-state region. Highs from 86 near Lake Michigan to 100 in west central and southwestern Illinois.
In agricultural news, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, ranking GOP member on the Senate Finance Committee, says he does not favor a tax increase to offset increased farm bill spending. The House included such a provision in its version of the farm bill. It would raise several billion dollars in new taxes earmarked for increased spending in nutrition programs. Grassley says if Congress is going to close tax loopholes, funds should not be used for new spending, but rather used to offset unfair taxes elsewhere in the tax code. Grassley says he would support a presidential veto if the House tax increase makes its way through conference committee. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns, speaking before the Minnesota Farm Fest, says he also has strong reservations about the tax, saying, and this is a direct quote, "The president wants to sign a farm bill, but he wants a farm bill that makes sense. However, without increases for nutrition, sources say it's less likely a farm bill will pass House muster." USDA says it will issue a rule as early as September that would eventually allow imports of Canadian cattle born on or after March 1st of 1999. At present, USDA only allows imports of cattle less than 30 months of age. Once released, the rule will go through a period of public review and comment. USDA would then determine whether revisions are necessary, which would be given to Congress for review. USDA officials did not indicate when the rule might eventually go into effect. A Purdue University agricultural economist says there could be regional storage problems in putting away the corn crop in Indiana. Chris Hurt says Indiana's western counties could see storage difficulties where growing conditions have been better than in eastern Indiana. But overall, putting away a Hoosier corn crop that for the first time is projected to top 1 billion bushels will be similar to recent harvests.
Obviously, corn yields are the big factor. As we take this size of crop, that 157 bushels, it suggests to us as we look at our projections that that the storage situation will be about as it has been for the last couple of years here in Indiana. No worse, no better.
Hurt says income for Indiana corn producers for the 2007 crop is projected at about $2 billion. The National Ag Statistics Service reports that in 2007, dial-up was again for producers the most common method of accessing the Internet. Nearly 47% of U.S. farms are using dial-up, but that's down from 69% in 2005. DSL is the second mode of choice with 27%. 55% of all U.S. farms now have Internet access, compared with 51% in 2005. 63% of farms have access to a computer in 2007, compared with the 2005 level of 59%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Hey, don't forget to run out to the Storm Auditorium in Windsor, Illinois tonight if you get the opportunity. At 6 o'clock, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain, Greg Wagner of Horizon Ag Strategies, and Wayne Nelson, along with Mike Zuzulo, will join Dave to talk about the commodity markets. A WILL AM 580 Ag panel tonight at the Storm Auditorium in Windsor, Illinois. That starts at 6 o'clock Central Time this evening. Tomorrow, I'll be at the Illinois State Fairgrounds all day long since its founding in 1867. The University of Illinois, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus, has been committed to excellence in research and teaching and public engagement. Those are the three-pronged attacks that we call a land-grant institution. Tomorrow, we'll bring that land-grant institution to the visitors at the Illinois State Fair at the campus town area starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, going all the way to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, including the Closing Market Report coming to you live from the Illinois State Fair. Visit us during the 2:06 to 2:36 time frame at the campus town area of the Illinois State Fair tomorrow. And that's not the end of things that happens this week. Agronomy Day right here on campus is this Thursday. Don't forget to come out to Agronomy Day. It's August the 16th. That's Thursday on the South Farms of the U of I. Right there, not too terribly far from the Assembly Hall. We kick things off at 7 o'clock in the morning. We finish up at 2 in the afternoon. The last set of wagons will leave for the research plots at just about the noon hour. I'll be dispatching them all morning long. Come visit me. Come visit the scientists and researchers who've been working with you and for you from the University of Illinois. That's this Thursday from 7 a.m. until about 2 in the afternoon. Hans Blaschuk will be the noon hour speaker. He's from the Center for Advanced Bioenergy and Research. Agronomy Day 2007 kicks off at 7 o'clock a.m. this Thursday morning. There's a whole lot happening this week and next week. And then, of course, Farm Progress shows the following week. You can find out more on our website at WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Matt Blaisdell with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon to you.
It's your debut. First, you need to tell me a little bit about yourself and where you came from, you came to the Andersons.
From Greenford, Indiana, which is about 3 hours from here. Went to Purdue and just graduated, and I've been with Andersons now 3 months and actually just at our Champaign location for a little over a week now.
Well, we won't hold the Purdue thing against you.
I appreciate that.
I'm sure we have plenty of Purdue fans that are in our listening area. I know we do. We cover both states, so congratulations on your graduation. Let's see how you do. Take us through the cash grain market here in Champaign County at the moment.
Today on our cash grains, where corn was down 2 cents nearby, and beans were up 10 cents, still trading the weather. We were hot and dry. I had a forecaster come out at the open and was adding a little precipitation and a little cooler temps into our forecast. And by noon, he tweeted 180 and totally backed that back to what most of the other what most of the trade is thinking with a hot and dry temps for the next 2 weeks.
And what are you hearing from the producers and the chatter within the Andersons about basis for the next week or as we head into the latter part of the month of August?
Nearby basis will probably stay about the same, and fall basis could improve depending on harvesting, what we're getting harvested and whatnot.
And what's the most often question you're getting asked by producers today? Are you talking to them?
I am talking to producers, and probably the most frequent question is, what's the market doing? The guys who still have corn on the farm, which is few and far between, one know, and then a lot of guys want to price their basis contracts, especially for harvest delivery, since they're going to be need to be pricing those in the next 2 weeks or 2 months. So.
And so that's they want to clean out the bins for the corn. Are they going to hold on to the soybeans, or do they ask you about them as well?
We do have some producers who I've talked to are thinking about holding on to the beans. Of course, the corn, though, they're cleaning out the bins and bringing in what's left they got on the farm.
What are train values like coming out of the Andersons?
That's a good question. I haven't seen what we traded today. Last week, I thought we were plus, I think, five over the D's.
Mm-hmm. And what are your bids for the day?
Our cash bid for corn is 316. Our harvest bid is 312. Our cash bean bid is 812. And our harvest bid is 822.
Matt, we look forward to talking to you again.
Appreciate it, Todd.
All right. Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons. His debut here on WILL AM 580 for the cash grain segment of the Closing Market Report on this Monday, the afternoon of August the 13th. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at the Chesapeake Energy office about the agricultural weather. They're located in Chicago, Illinois. But right now, it's time for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A visitation in Champaign and a funeral service in Danville are being planned for a soldier who died over the weekend in Iraq. Arrangements are incomplete for 24-year-old Army Specialist Justin Penrod. He was killed Saturday in an explosion in Baghdad. He leaves behind a wife and an 8-year-old son. Penrod was from Danville and had lived in Mahomet before he and his family moved to an Army base in Georgia. Identity thieves who target members of the military serving overseas will now face stiffer penalties if they're caught. A bill signed yesterday in Illinois increases the penalty for identity theft against service members. It goes into effect in January of next year. A new statewide task force will address issues related to black men. It's called the Task Force on the Coalition of African American Men in Illinois. Governor Rob Blagojevich signed the legislation that establishes the task force. It'll look at topics such as education, incarceration, health disparities, and economic earnings of black men. The governor says the task force will help African-American men gain better access to state services. The task force will report its findings and recommendations to the governor and lawmakers by the end of next year. The wife of presidential hopeful Barack Obama is admonishing those who are questioning her husband's credentials as a black man. Speaking over the weekend at a campaign event on Chicago's South Side, Michelle Obama called the question of whether the Illinois senator is black enough nonsense. Some Democratic officials in Indiana fear that if Hillary Rodham Clinton wins the Democratic nomination for president next year, it could spell defeat for members of her party lower on the ticket. State Representative Dave Crooks of Washington, Indiana, says Clinton on the ticket would hurt any candidate by 3 or 4 percentage points. The state of Illinois is turning to eBay to auction off unclaimed personal property that the state recovers. Treasurer Alexi Giannulia says several other states are already using the online auction service, which he says will bring the regular property auctions to more people than the traditional in-person auctions, and that means more money into state coffers. The property comes from people who don't claim old safe deposit boxes. It also includes land that the state can't find a legal owner for. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. On a Monday afternoon, we're joined by the folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Josh Starr on the line with us. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm good. I was in your office Friday afternoon. I would have liked to have seen you there in the Boeing building as we came during the closing market report and Commodity Week from Chicago. But you were off to New York. How was your trip?
It was great. It was great. I catched the deluge and the colder than normal temps on Friday, and then Saturday was beautiful, so got all sorts of weather.
And then you get to come back here, and they put you in the hot box.
That's
what are we
right.
expecting now for the next couple of days?
Next couple of days, the ridge of high pressure really is the dominant story, which has brought records and scores, hundreds of records, as a matter of fact, over the past several days to the southeast U.S. That ridge is going to start to retrograde out towards the central plains over the next week, and that, as a result, shifts any precipitation chances to the far northern corn and bean belt, so Minnesota, Wisconsin, northern Iowa, the areas that have been getting recent rainfalls will continue to get it basically north of I-80. Southern belt remains in a dry and very, very warm pattern for this time of year.
We're to the point now where these hot, dry weather conditions are really going to start to hurt. When you look out further than the next few days, maybe over the next week, do we have any change in the pattern?
No real change in the pattern. The ridge stays a southern U.S. feature here, and as a result, the areas that have been dry over the past several weeks to month are going to continue to stay dry. And we actually remain in a below normal rainfall pattern for this time of year, which is certainly not good news for the southern portions of the belt.
And speaking of dry conditions, we heard just a bit on Friday that China may be suffering through, at least in a couple of provinces, some dry conditions. Can you confirm or deny that one?
Well, there was some widespread rain activity last week across the northern regions, and that's going to continue. And really, the northern half of the belt stands to get good precipitation chances again this week. So provinces like Heilongjiang, Jilin, Liaoning provinces. All in all, China is not in bad shape at this point. Actually.
Those would be in the northeastern provinces, I think, of China, and the primary corn-growing provinces. Is that right?
Right, the heart of the corn and bean belt there is continues to get active chances for
people. How about their southern bean crop? Is that where it's suffering?
Yeah, the southern areas are a little less plentiful with the precipitation, but there aren't any widespread issues at this time.
Speaking of beans, we'd better check in on the proposed growing conditions. Though we're not in the growing conditions yet, but the growing conditions that will be coming up for Brazil and Argentina. How have they fared for moisture over the past 6 months?
Argentina is probably on the entire worldwide scale the driest area, and for winter wheat now and as we head into planting is an area of increased concern, probably the area most concerned worldwide. Buenos Aires in particular has been running a severe deficit, 33% of rainfall normal over the past 3 months, and are in bad need of rain for both wheat as well as the upcoming bean crop there. So that's an area of critical area to watch right now.
Anything else on the worldwide crop watch we ought to be looking at?
The other watch area is eastern Australia, which has also been dry, Queensland, New South Wales. But as we move through the next 2 weeks, we think they're going to start to get some chances for precipitation, which should improve conditions there.
Josh, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon. Our thanks to them for hosting us for just a bit on Friday afternoon. We walked over to the Boeing building and looked down on the Chicago River from, I think, what, their 23rd floor vantage point. Beautiful sight from up that high. Our much thanks to John Davis and Mark Russo for hosting us during the noon hour on Friday last week. And, of course, to Rich Feltus and company at MF Global for hosting the Commodity Week program. And Friday's closing market report tomorrow will come to you from the Illinois State Fair. If you're in the area, be sure to drop by and see us. We'll be in the Campus Town area. That's for those who've been around for a while, the old Pabst Saloon, not too terribly far, right out of the center of the Illinois State Fairgrounds. I'm Todd Gleason.